boom, Disney, hire us. We're available. We'll work for cheaper than Patty Jenkins. Cam will work for free. I will work for cheaper than Patty Jenkins. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Cantina here on the Genreverse YouTube channel, Genreverse Podcast Network, available on all of your favorite podcast apps like, you know, Google, Spotify, other ones, Apple, whatnot. I'm confused at which camera to look at. I'm Kyle, by the way, my cohort here, Cam Clark. Shockey not joining us, unfortunately, and it has been a while. Sorry. I didn't want to set up everything and drag out the couch for the canteen. I just wanted to get into it because we got quite a bit to discuss. I was already on the right screen. You guys can find more content for all your entertainment news, needs, opinions here on the Genreverse YouTube channel, LRMonline.com. Mention the podcast, go up on your favorite podcast apps. And we do have merch, so check out our Redbubble link in the description box below. Let's kind of get into it. The Acolyte trailer has dropped this week, and there's feelings. People have feelings, Cam. They often do. What were your feelings on the Acolyte?
Yeah, I mean, I liked what I saw. It's only a teaser, so almost no dialogue. A lot of quick shots, scene setting stuff. But I think tonally, it looks darker than some of the stuff that we've been getting recently. You kind of get the feeling that there's a story there to be told. Obviously, we'll wait and see, but I guess my first impressions are decent. Yeah, I quite enjoyed the as a teaser. I have no reason for it.
Brian, who does the anime content here with us on the Genreverse, he had said if this had been 10 years ago, he would have been a lot more excited. I find myself kind of feeling the same, where I'm like, there's nothing on screen that says to me this will be bad Star Wars. However, we're in an era where we've had Obi-Wan Kenobi series, Mando season 3, Ahsoka, and not to mention the movies. And it's just, it's really hard to sit there and be excited. We were kind of proven wrong with Andor. Andor turned out to be absolutely amazing. Proven wrong as far as like what we thought, could it work, could it not work, and whatnot. And the creator of this series, Leslie Headland, showrunner as well, had some comments recently. Cam, could you tell us a little bit about what she had to say?
I mean, you mean specifically in the tone?
About
kind
tone
of side
and
of it,
stuff like that. With the
I mean, she
Andor
did talk
thing.
To, I think that was in the Collider. That she spoke about, yeah. And she kind of talked about where it sits. So the question she was asked is this more Mandalorian or is it Andor? Which is a fair question. And what she said was basically, it's somewhere in between. It has elements of both. It's more like Andor in terms of that it's one story. It's not episodic in any way. But as she said in another interview later on, it kind of takes the, it's like a mystery thriller, so you're going to find new information out each episode. But like Andor, it's more of a story from start to end, and having a, as she said, like when you get to the end of Andor, it kind of builds to this sort of climax, and that's what she was kind of aiming for, and at least season one of the show. She did also say that she does have a lot of ideas for further seasons of this show, but she did point out that she doesn't like cliffhangers, so she didn't want it. Wouldn't be like season one leaves you in a cliffhanger and then you don't find out what happens in to season two. She likes it to be more complete than that, but she does have ideas for where these characters in this story could go in future seasons. She just kind of needs a break, but it does sound as well as if Lucasfilm are keen for her to start work on that ASAP. She didn't say it's been greenlit, And obviously, she and probably Lucasfilm want to see how the show does, how it
Yeah.
does with critics
Well, I
and
don't
with
know. They
fans,
seem
but.
to not have issues announcing things are greenlit at all. They'll greenlit 1,000 things and watch none of them come to fruition and be like, we don't
That may
understand
have
why
changed
people
in the
don't
last
trust
few
us.
months, though, Kyle. I mean, that may have changed since the last time we went through that. I can't really. I mean, I don't know how expensive it was to make, and we don't have that information yet. What we could say is she also says that it didn't use the volume, so it's kind of location shot like Andor, and I think it looks better because of that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't think I would say Mando season one looked bad. I think they used the volume in the right way in that, but I think they became a little bit too reliant on it, and the likes of, especially Obi-Wan Kenobi, was
Oh
far
God,
too
yeah.
reliant on the volume to the
Mando
point where
season
it
three
became a
even.
detriment to that, and probably Mando season three a little bit as well, yeah. Although I don't think that was necessarily m most of my issues with that
No. Oh
series
God,
were not
no.
that, but there was some. Yeah, there was some issues with the volume. I think it has to be used in the right way. And I think maybe Lucasfilm started using it in the wrong way. So I'm quite pleased that it's not actually, because it looks good so far, or at least to me it looks good anyway. So yeah, that was pretty much what she'd said in the Collider interview. If we go into the THR interview, which we were also covering in the site as well, is where she talked about it being sort of a mystery thriller. And she also talked about some of her kind of influences for the show, and she mentioned some Kurosawa films, and we talk a little bit about that. The article you've probably got on screen at the moment anyway, people can
It's been
check
up and
out if you
down.
want. So a lot of quotes, that's why I'm not reading it out, guys,
Yeah,
because
yeah, 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 yeah.
it would take the whole show to just read out all her quotes. She does go into quite a lot of detail, but that's something you're better reading for yourself on the site or the original sites that actually did the publications themselves. Of course, I didn't cover absolutely everything from the interviews, just the key points. If you want absolutely everything she said, you can check both the THR and the Collider for those
Yeah,
original interviews.
you link to them in
Yeah,
your write up of it, of
absolutely. Both are
course.
linked in my articles, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I kind of agreed with Brian. Nothing that I saw on it looked bad. And what she says about it is all kind of stuff that I hope for the show, but I've just been burned too many times by Disney recently, Disney and
Understand.
Lucasfilm. So it's just the same as Marvel. Like I
It's
want
up
to
to
be.
them to impress you.
It
It's
is.
on
It
them.
is.
You know, all right, I'll try your show. Impress me. You know, make me want to come back each week and watch it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's not as if you're saying, I'm not giving this a chance. You've given it a chance and see how it goes,
Absolutely been trying to give things a chance. I gave Kenobi a chance, and I
You
hate
did,
myself for
yeah.
that. Because, man, I'll tell you what. Kenobi broke canon. People can argue with me and do all sorts of mental gymnastics all they want. In my opinion, Kenobi not only broke canon, but they completely just created a pile of crap to put Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor on screen together in something that mattered not at all. The whole, at the end of the day, the only thing you did was muck around with canon to give us a fight that didn't matter
Yeah.
and is
See,
indeed
you and I
one of the
slightly
worst
disagree on
shot
this.
lightsaber battle, like worst lit, I should say, worst lit lightsaber battles I've ever seen in my entire life.
I agree it's not the best lit lightsaber battle, and I'll agree that the show was a mess, but I think my issues were, I had the same worries as you, but I actually think my main issue with it is that it could have been pulled off with better writing. And better directing, they could
Could
have
have
pulled it off
been,
and made
maybe,
actually quite a
but it
good
still wouldn't
show.
have freaking mattered. That's the worst part about it is
Well, it
none of it
matters if you care about
mattered.
Obi-Wan's character development.
Sure,
That's that should have been the key point.
but to bring up another duel, like there should have never been another duel between Vader and Obi-Wan, between Sith and A New Hope. It shouldn't have happened. And while you can figure out how to wiggle it in, without breaking shit as bad as Disney Lucasfilm did, it still isn't necessary because it's still going to end up at A New Hope, going down the exact same way, and you don't really do any. I don't know, man. I don't. I think there's plenty of stuff there, especially after Revenge of the Sith comes out. There's plenty of stuff there to get you mentally from Sith Obi-Wan to Tatooine Obi-Wan. I didn't need what they gave us at all.
It possibly didn't even need Vader. You know, to be honest.
It didn't. That's one of the worst parts about it. You don't need Leia and you don't need Vader at all. You could definitely tell some Kenobi stuff, and I would have been potentially down for that, but not with Vader. And like I said, because it all come, we're we're on a Kenobi sidebar. We could do that all the time. What I did want to get into, and what I was trying to,
what we don't have in this Acolyte, is that we don't have anything. It shouldn't be anything that destroys, I don't think, any canon or way. You know, it's its own contained story.
You would think there would be nothing to be destroyed about canon, but man, we have got some controversy going on about the Acolyte and canon.
I wonder who the controversy is from.
With lightsaber colors being one of the big things, and whether or not there are Sith. So everyone likes to go back to this line about there's only two, a master and an apprentice, and then, oh, this person's not a real Sith. This person's not a real Sith, when there's a dozen different dark side force users showing up all throughout Filoni and Lucas's much beloved Clone Wars series, right? And so you've got
Inquisitors, you've got
and people will do the mental focus. People will do the mental gymnastics of, well, they're not Sith, they're Force users, they might be dark. Okay, I got it. You're twisting things the way Lucas and Filoni and Pablo like to as well. And then you've got the people that are raging on about whether or not there are why there would be orange lightsabers in the scene of the Acolyte, when, or yellow lightsabers, when those are supposed to be only for temple guards.
It's a disgrace, so it is.
But then
I think these people forget why we even got a green lightsaber in the first place. You know, if we go back to Return of the Jedi, the only reason Luke got a green lightsaber in Return of the Jedi is because the blue looked bad against the desert skyline and the Jabba set piece.
That's the thing. There's a couple of issues here with people that are, and these are, some of these are the same people bitching about canon, about whether or not, and you've got and we're not calling out any particular people because these are not the only two. I grabbed two. There's all sorts of conversations, but you got Star Wars theory on the on the Sith. No one should be able to know who is Sith. Red lightsabers mean Sith, and Sith could not have been seen before Maul is seen in The Phantom Menace, otherwise it messes up with canon. And then raging,
well, none of them survive,
right? And then raging Rhino, who I don't even know who that is at all.
No.
Responding to Jacob at JT I'm Suggs or J Tim Suggs. I'm not sure what the Twitter handle is supposed to, how it's supposed to read. They posted something about the Battle of Geonosis being great. Someone responded about no yellow lightsabers during the Battle of Geonosis because they should be at the temple, guarding the temple. One of my biggest things about this is, one, Lucas was stupid, and I'm saying it, and you guys can hate me for it. Although I'm pretty sure Doomcock's about to get, you know, all sorts of views and love for saying he doesn't like Lucas anymore because of Lucas backing Iger and whatnot on the Disney board. But I have been hating on Lucas's bad ideas for a while, including making lightsaber colors, one, matter, and then him and Filoni making freaking not just the colors being specific, but making them matter to specific jobs, making the crystal sentient, making them pick out their owners, because it's like, man, I got a yellow one. I guess I'm going to be a guard, whether I wanted to be one or not. Like, and I know they come up with wiggle room and people doing this mental gymnastics crap to try to figure out what is or isn't canon. When the sad fact reality is, Lucas screwed up with that crap, and Dave Filoni made it way too cartoony and touchy feely with the sentience and stuff like that.
And then in the sequels, they just abandoned whatever they had said and gave Rey one at the end anyway. So, you know, like they all have got their own way of doing it.
But Cam, could you imagine the plethora of colors we would have if we went with prequel, pre-Clone Wars EU style lightsabers, the pinks, the purples, the silver, all sorts of shades of blue and green and yellow and orange. Right. Oh my God, it would have been great.
Depending on the color of the crystal you picked up, and that's how it works.
Instead, we have people.
It gave you whatever color light.
And instead, we have people complaining about orange showing up outside of a temple, or red must mean Sith, must mean dark side.
We're looking for anything. Their entire career is built out of criticizing anything that Star Wars does. So when that trailer comes out, and I don't mind calling it Star Wars Theory for this,
I don't really watch him that much, so
but you know, I don't watch him at all, but I pick up what he says because I see stuff in Reddit.
That's what I'm saying. I don't watch, I don't willingly seek out his stuff enough. If something pops up
and I see the headlines and the guy is going to be viewing that trailer and just thinking, right, what can I criticize here? What are all the bad things about this? Because that's where he's going to make money on a video, is raging about somebody doesn't like, because that's what his fan base want to see. And the other guy you mentioned,
he liked Kenobi though, didn't he?
Now raging didn't he like about Kenobi? George Lucas, because politically they've went away from the kind of political stance that they're pushing. I mean, put it this way, one of the criticisms I saw online of the Acolyte trailer was, tell me how many white men you can find in that trailer. You know? And I'm like, I don't really care about that, man. It's got no interest in me at all, you know?
Most of the time, the
character's a character. I like the character. Well, not like the character. I don't care. You know,
I'm with you like that. I'm with you like that. There are times, and I talk about this on the Daily Cog from time to time. I used to talk about it with Manny Gomez a lot when he was on the show with me. There are times when Hollywood does do things with their casting, and maybe it's on purpose. Whether or not it's coming with. Whether or not it's coming with the desire to create diversity out of a pure motivation, or there are people that look, man, revenge is something that is sought by people throughout the world. And if you think entertainment doesn't have people that seek revenge on their perceived wrongs, whether they are wrong or not, it's their perceived wrongs. It'd be naive not to think that happens, but I don't necessarily, that wasn't the thing that went through my mind watching this either. So I'm with you on that. It didn't cross my mind until I think I saw the same tweet you probably saw.
Some good actors in there, you know, Carrie Ann Moss is good, always good. Lee Jung-Yai, Daphne Keane. I haven't really seen the star, Amanda Stenberg. I haven't really seen in anything, so I don't know what to expect from her. But there's several other actors that showed up in that teaser that I like, you know, and I'm happy to see in this, and they can do a job. So we'll give it, you know, we'll see how it goes, and we will review it, probably.
That's all we can do. Yeah, we'll have Cantina reviews thoughts, for it, 100%. You know? At least for the first few episodes, unless the first episode is just straight donkey shit, you know. Of course, we're gonna check it out.
One thing that she did say that I think you might like to hear is she did say that there shouldn't really be any connections to the Skywalker saga itself.
Good.
So don't expect that, which I think is a good thing. I wouldn't have liked it to be. It's all about the prophecy and Anakin coming or something like that, and it was all kind of some sort of setup for that. I think would have been a bit meh. So.
I agree. Well, why don't we leave the Acolyte behind? Let us know what you guys thought in the comments down below. Let's talk a little bit about Rogue Squadron. Rogue Squadron's back in the news, Cam.
sure, it should be, though. We know why it is. It's because Patty Jenkins was on a
podcast.
Doesn't
have anything else going on right now.
And she said she's still working on it. And as far as she's concerned, Lucasfilm are waiting for her to produce a draft. And this did echo Kathleen Kennedy's statement that it wasn't
cancelled.
It was just shelled because no one was working on it right now. Patty Jenkins explained that, you know, for her, she was going to be working on Wonder Woman 3. Then the whole DCU James Gunn thing happened. Wonder Woman 3 got cancelled, and her time was freed up to be able to start working on Rogue Squadron. I think it'll depend what kind of script she puts in for it ultimately. I don't think the project's dead. It depends what she produces. If she produces an interesting script, then, you know, that they think, yeah, we want to make this, then great. If she doesn't, then I think they just go, sorry, thanks very much. We might not use any of your ideas, but, you know, basically we own them anyway. If we do decide to use any of your ideas, we'll give you story credit. And, you know, that's how it works.
I still stand by this would be a better show than movie. I still have the biggest fear that it's just going to be Top Gun in space, and I maybe Top Gun 2, because they actually go do like a full-blown mission, and the mission is more of a thing than the school stuff. And I've explained it before, mostly because, you know, this is not a group of fresh pilots. This isn't a group of newbies. This is a group of trained, seasoned pilots that go through basically SF school together and then go do their missions. And while the SF school stuff is nice to get into, I don't want to see that in a movie. You know what I'm saying? Like in a book, like in the original X-Wing books, and I don't expect them to adapt those, at all, maybe take some inspirations from, but you have time to do the flight school stuff. You know what I'm saying? And flesh it out and make it meaningful before you start going and doing the mission. And I don't mean flight school, maybe more like Q course or something like that, SF stuff. But in a movie, you've only got 2.5, you know, hours, hopefully no more than that, but you know, 2 to 2.5 hours you've got to tell a big chunk of
that
story.
For the mission itself or the battle.
Exactly.
Yeah. Some exciting bits in between. So like training needs to be exciting and being ships, it can't be just sat at a desk.
Do we even need
at the start that introduces people to get them there in the first place?
But
as well.
Do we even need, even in a movie, do we need the training part of it? Do we need to see this team come together, or can we jump into this team is together, you know, this is the team, and we learn through their conversations in the cockpit
at the canteen.
Exactly, they're already like doing their missions.
When you jump into Halo, blue team's already a thing, you know. It's not as if you're just meeting them for the first time and they're learning to work with each other. They're already a well-oiled unit, and then shit goes south. But you know, and that kind of thing could happen. I mean, it'd be interesting if they had an elite unit and somebody gets killed and they have to bring a new person in so that we get to explore the dynamic from the new person coming into that setup. You know,
like the opening of the movie is a funeral or something like that?
Or starting with a mission where somebody gets killed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it goes into, you know, and this is military stuff. It's not, you know, that's a big funeral. You know, the military's job is replace the person. That's priority number one. You know, body, the funeral, that's somebody else's problem. My job's to get this team operational, so I'm going to replace that. Who's the best pilot out there that I could get to come into this team? And that's a nice angle to come into it without maybe having too much of the flight school.
Yeah.
And then there could be that kind of animosity of, you know, it's almost like D'Artagnan coming into the Three Musketeers, isn't it? You know, it's that kind of idea, you know.
And that's the other thing is, a lot of people that came up with, say, the Rogue Squadron, the X-Wing books, they might, you know, realize, they might get kind of hung up on that. Well, you got to have them all come together and whatnot. Not necessarily. The thing about the books is they were restarting Rogue Squadron from scratch. And so you had to have a training period like they did to get to work together. But much like you said, as you start cycling a unit in, once a unit is activated and they're in, losses, it's not like the whole group goes back to school together. No, they train on site from that point forward. You know, replacements come in, you're trained from there. That's why I brought up the idea, you don't even need any type of training. You just jump in. We can learn to love these characters or hate them if necessary, because and I hate how people are like, oh, how dare you hate a character. You should hate a bad guy, and you know what I'm saying.
We should
be able to get those emotions without having this slow get into the action. And whether that is, and this is me, and I think you generally agree with me, whether you set it up in the era of the original trilogy, which you really shouldn't, but if you did, fine, whatever, just jump into the action. Just jump into it. But the best thing to do is to bring back what's his name to be Poe Dameron. Poe takes this position of Wedge, have Wedge in the position of Ackbar, and this is the taking of Coruscant from the remnants of the Final Order, Last Order, whatever the hell it was called. That's how you do it. And then you have some blueprints with the X-Wing books, because you just kind of adapting that, but you know, 35, 40 years in the future.
You have 15 years to play with before we get to wherever the race sequel goes. So they could create a different environment by that point. That could be after the Resistance has cleared out the First Order completely, or there could still be some remnants, depending on how they're deciding that story's going to go.
And you drop us in
some
with
sort of bad guys. So.
Yeah, you drop us in with Poe and them on a mission, and they lose someone, like you said, and it's like, well, you've got this replacement, and then they're like, it's time, Dameron, we're going after Coruscant. We made this mistake of transferring the capital like idiots before. We're going to re-centralize it, and the new Galactic Alliance or whatever is going to... So we need you to start plotting to take Coruscant. Boom, Disney, hire us. We're available. We'll work for cheaper than Patty Jenkins. Cam will work for free. I will work for cheaper than Patty Jenkins. We got this, man. A better movie than anything you guys could come up with, I promise you. Oh,
just
man.
Love the opportunity, you know. But yeah, will we ever see this?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Will we ever see it directed and written by Patty Jenkins? That seems... I think we'll see it more than we'll see that eventuality of it, but I'm still not sure we will ever see it. So
I feel you on that. It sucks. I still think, like I said, it would make a great show. I think of it
then
just
you can get into all the, you know, the downtime, because you can't have you can't blow your budget on every episode, you know. So if you were building up to some like Coruscant, that's your finale, you know. Mm-hmm. Or even getting into the start of season two, you know, something like that as well. The budget across two seasons. That's what Stargate used to do with their big finales. Sometimes they would have the cliffhanger for budget reasons. So they would be spending big on the finale and then big on the start of the next series. And then they would reduce the money and then spend big for the finale again, so that they would have all the filler episodes in between. Yeah. Not always the worst episodes, but lower budget, less special effects.
No, it makes sense, and that's an easy way to do it. And like you said, spend time with the pilots in their base in the local pub cantina, you know, downtown area.
Issues are and whatever the dramas are between them. Who fancies who?
Who's banging who? Exactly.
Somebody else.
All of that stuff. And as a retired, you know, service member myself, I would eat that shit up, man. I would, you know. I really would. No, we're gonna.
Did you never want to be a pilot, Kyle?
Who did it?
That was when I was a kid. I don't have the eyesight to be a pilot, as you can see, right? Yeah. But you know,
neither did I.
If I had no interest in getting into the military, but if I did, that's what I would have wanted to do, because I loved the idea of flying planes because of Star Wars.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Everyone did. I would still kill to this day to get an up-to-date space fighter sim, not an arcade bullshit shooter like your guys's Battlefront and Squadrons.
Yeah.
No, a real modern take on it's TIE like Fighter, X-Wing versus TIE
make
Fighter
that for PC, and it would make money. You know, it would only be a certain community to buy it, but as long as your budget's not crazy, which it doesn't need to be.
It doesn't have to be for this. No, yeah. It doesn't have to be at all. Because it's all about the ship models. It's not about pilot models. It's not about cinematics. It's not about, like, dude, you could animate the cinematics for all I care, like Homeworld style, like, just give me Wing Commander, freaking put live action actors in the cutscenes instead of CGI, and use cheap actors. Like, I don't care, just give me the damn game. And there's a really good update.
There's a series of missions that you can play in a number of different ways, so that you can go back and try and play it in different ways with different shifts
yes,
and different combinations.
Yes. And then, of course, the online being a big one. You know, at least 12-on-12 for classic EU squadron base. Like, that was the thing about Squadrons, was it was like, what, 5 pilots? Boring. My God, Disney and EA, you guys should be fired for what you've done to Star Wars gaming.
I saw something the other day. There's some the guy who was one of the creators of Halo or whatever, one of the mm-hmm. head Halo people, joined EA to work on something, and then they paid off the entire studio before they could produce it, and he was like, I just have nothing good to say about EA whatsoever. They're just such a bad company.
Yeah. Well, the only other thing that we were going to do for shits and giggles, literally giggles, mentioned Doomcock getting upset at Lucas, and he did. He tweeted out, made a whole video, making lots of views for it. And again, guys, Star Wars isn't our bread and butter here on the Genreverse. This is passion project for Cam, Shockey, and I. The bread and butter is the anime shit, for sure. Always has been since we started it. It's not jealousy. Oh, I want the Star Wars. It's just the guy spent years feeding garbage to people, and I hate seeing people abuse people, and that's what he did. He abused his audience repeatedly. And it's disgusting to me. But they said, this is one of the most painful videos ever made. Time to write off George Lucas. KK didn't kill Star Wars. He did. I like what you said in our Slack. He can't make videos about George Lucas coming to save Star Wars anymore.
I think at one point at the start, he claimed to have insider knowledge from Lucas. Like, he was a pal with him or something. Like the infamous super shadow from back in the prequel days that claimed that George Lucas was giving Star Wars to him and all that sort of stuff, and just made stuff up. I mean, that's how bad this guy was at the start. Then he started on the whole kind of just hate train, but it was continually, you know, promising his users, like, George Lucas might be coming back. He might take
this
the franchise back. At one point, he said he would buy it back.
My sources.
Or that he would become the new Lucasfilm president instead of Kathleen Kennedy, and that he was going to save Star Wars universe and blah, blah, blah. And then all Lucas does is say, basically, I think the more experienced filmmakers would be best with this franchise. That's basically what he said. But because Doomcock's politics are all, you know, and this whole thing at Disney, there seems to be a lot of racism involved in it, I'm going to be honest. Misogyny, all that sort of stuff. And
sometimes, yeah, for
you
sure.
You know, some sort of proxy fight. And it's all about politics anyway. And because George Lucas has now gone against the politics that Doomcock has, he's dead to him. You know, it's like,
Lucas would have always been against
you're a sad
of
little
the politics
middle-aged
of
man
these YouTubers,
that sits
so.
In the internet with a mask on.
Is he middle-aged?
And tells people. Well,
I thought it was
not
a kid.
A kid. It can be a well,
kid.
Do you know, I guess we don't know because he disguises his voice in some weird way.
Exactly, and by kid,
it's
guys, we mean
joke.
Someone like under 30.
Yeah, we do mean that because we're old.
Yeah.
I really am middle-aged.
Yes!
So maybe I'm self-projecting.
And I'm right about
in some
there,
ways,
too.
But, you know, I'm not disguising my voice and putting a mask on and making up lies to tell people to sell videos. So.
No. Cam, are you seeing the entire saga in theaters on May 4th?
No. you know, well, it's not the entire saga because it's not the sequels. It's just the OT and the PT. But
maybe for the UK, Star Wars X said the entire saga, and their poster has the sequels on them.
Maybe I'm wrong. The initial report I wrote and for the site, and when I covered it, the tweets and all that were saying it was just 1 of 6.
Let me double check.
I don't know. I don't even know if it's happening in the UK. It might be a US.
That might be a thing because the website StarWars.com says entire saga. Yeah, all of them through the rise.
Either way, I wouldn't even go and see the OT again, even though they're 4K remastered, and it'll be a better 4K transfer than what we get in Disney Plus.
Because it's not compressed.
I've seen these films hundreds of times, and I don't need to go and see them again.
If they took out McClunky, and no, I would take my son to see these in theaters 100%. But I don't want to assault his intelligence by having him watch
tough to take
those awful, awful, awful takes. God dang it, George. You gave us gold and then you wiped your butt with it. Why?
If I'm going to watch them, I'll watch those ones, but may as well watch them in streaming, you know.
If you guys do like good, honest Star Wars opinions, the occasional bit of rumor discussion, leak discussion, mostly just opinions on stuff that's like official news, give us a subscribe and or a follow if you're listening on your favorite app, because we do like to cover this stuff. Like I said, it's a passion project. That's why it still goes on when the anime stuff does so much more. I want to be a one-stop shop for everyone. So if you do like it, please do subscribe. Check out all the articles we talked about and their sources linked at lrmonline.com. Cam and Shockey really hold it down doing the writing. So if you have ever considered writing for a entertainment website, Cam, what could they do?
I mean, you could write for us at lrmonline.com. We're always looking for new people to volunteer and learn the ropes and, you know, get your name out there. Well, you can write under a pseudonym if you want, if we have people that do that from time to time. But you can also just get yourself out there as a writer, learn how to do it, how to write stories, how to write opinion pieces. We will help you with that. So if you're interested in that in any way whatsoever, and it doesn't have to be about Star Wars, if it is Star Wars, cool. It doesn't have to be, though. It could be any kind of geek franchise that you're into. It might even be something that, you know, we don't cover enough of and we should be covering more of, in which case, hey, come and write about it. Because if I don't watch it, then you don't want to see me write about it anyway. You're as well having someone write about things that actually watch them and are interested in them. That's the way I see it. So give us a shout. My details are below. You can shout me or you can go to Shockey, Michael at lrmonline.com as well. Or you can contact Ken. We'll probably just forward it on to Mia. Anyway, so.
Most likely. So yeah, you guys, if you want to do that, subscribe here. Like I said, all the great content. Follow us on your favorite podcast app. And hey, if you really want to support LRM and the genreverse, we do have some merch, including our exclusive, I mean, it's simple to make up, but our OT is greater than the PT is greater than the ST Star Wars print, available on stickers, shirts, mugs, all that type of stuff. It is true. I mean, I could just put OT greater than PT / ST because it's the greatest of all time, but you know, you gotta tier these things. Thank you so much for watching. We'll talk to you next time. May the force be with you.